Okay. Welcome home, everybody. I'm Carla H. from the Bay Area of California. I am a compulsive overeater. I'm the real deal. I'm a short timer also, so I've been in Overeaters Anonymous 5 years and 8 months, and I was 65 years old when I got here. So I have a whole lot of history about before. And I can't tell you much of it in 20 minutes, so I'm just going to say, to give you numbers, for anyone who wants to identify that way. I've lost 90 pounds. I've kept it off now for 5 years and probably 5 years in a few months. I got here eating every few minutes. So I had been doing that for 9 years. And I wanted to live more than anything, and I was killing myself. I had the medical reports to prove it. I had the doctor visits to prove it. I had what my body was doing on a daily basis. I could hardly walk. I had a lot of foot pain, back pain, vision problems. I had all kinds of things going on with me, and I wanted to live, but I couldn't quit eating. I believed it was willpower because at one point, the reason I know it's exactly 9 years is at one point when I was actually given this death sentence, a doctor handed me a piece of paper and said, "Eat like this if you want to live." And y'all, I wanted to live more than anything. So I ate off of that piece of paper for almost 5 years. And one day I woke up and I thought, you know what? I know how to eat now. I know how to use portion control. I know how to eat a little bit. And so I thought, I don't need that piece of paper anymore. So I put the piece of paper down, went to work. There were some items out in front of my office, and I ate one. And then a few minutes later, I ate another one. And a few minutes later, I ate another one. That started that 9 years of me eating every few minutes, believing it was willpower that I've done it before, I can do it again. So I woke up every morning going, I am not going to do that today. And I went to bed every night going, oh, I did it again. And finally, one night, and why? Well, all of this is a mystery, but I cried out to God and said, please help me. I can't quit eating. And I specifically heard OA. And so, I went to Google because Google knows everything. I ran to my computer. I Googled OA and Overeaters Anonymous came up, and I just began to cry. I knew that was my way of healing, having no idea what Overeaters Anonymous was. I didn't care what it was, but I clicked on a word meeting on that web page, and it took me to a meeting in Pacifica, California, the next morning at 9 o'clock. I turned off my computer and went to bed. And when I got to that meeting, there were two little ladies sitting at a table. And I walked in, and I walked in, but I say I crawled in because that's the panic I was in. I looked at them and said, "Can y'all help me? I can't quit eating." And they kind of looked at each other and they looked back at me and they handed me the Overeaters Anonymous 12 and 12, which changed my life forever. Because first of all, I found out I was a compulsive overeater. I had absolutely no idea that it was the foods I was eating that was creating a craving that I could not control, willpower had no effect on, and I kept doing it. That morning, when I walked out of that meeting, it was like a ton of bricks had been lifted off my shoulders. And from that day to this, I've never eaten one of those alcoholic foods. Finding out that information changed everything, but that was just the tip of the iceberg. And then I began to go to meetings where I didn't understand anything that was being said. Everything I believed was being challenged. First of all, the whole deal with willpower, because I'd lived my whole life on willpower. And I was looking for a sponsor. So the thing they told me when I walked out of that meeting is, if you want to be healed from the way you're living, from what's happening with you, that's my word. They said you have to work the steps and you have to have a sponsor. They didn't tell me what a sponsor was. So I was on the hunt for Red October, a sponsor. And so every meeting I went to, everyone who shared or everyone who spoke to me, I would say, would you be my sponsor? Would you be my sponsor? Would you be my sponsor? And there was one reason or another. One day a lady said, well, honey, I can't sponsor you. I'm not abstinent. But she didn't tell me what abstinence was. So I just went, okay, well, she's not going to be my sponsor. I still didn't know what a sponsor was. So they handed me the brown book that has the stories in it. And they said, until you find a sponsor, read this. And man, I still love that brown book so much because I began to read about people who used to do what I did and they didn't anymore. And so then 21 days later, I walked into a meeting and a lady met me at the door and she said, "Welcome home. We've been waiting for you and we saved you a seat." And when I went into that meeting, a lady came in behind me, sat down at the table who was beaming. And she talked about being the way I was, and she hadn't been that way in 7 years. I couldn't imagine. I wanted everything that woman had, and she left early because she was at work. So I had to contact her after the meeting. And I thought, and she was young and she was gorgeous. And here I was, 65 years old and crazy, literally. And but I texted her. I finally got the nerve to text her, and she texted me right back and said, I was going to call you. And so that day she began as my sponsor, which is the day I use as my abstinent date. That was the day I became accountable to another human being. Now, I am a compulsive overeater. I woke up a compulsive overeater today. And I also woke up human. So I had to have a power greater than me because I could not, by my own willpower, change anything about what I was doing. But I had to have another human being because I had to have accountability. And here's what she told me the first time we talked. Here's accountability. You say what you're going to do, and then you just do what you say. And I thought, well, how simple is that? Until the first morning I tried to write out a food plan. She said, send me your food in the morning. And I thought, well, I don't know what I'm going to put on that because once I sent it to her, that's what I have to eat today. Oh my gosh, how am I going to do that? Because I ate what I wanted, when I wanted, how I wanted. But I did it. I don't know how to this day. I don't know how, except that we talked every single day. She was pouring into me. She was leading me through the steps through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And the first time we talked, she said, I'll lead you through the book, through the steps in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Go get the big book. Read the first 164 pages. Write down every must, every have to, and every had to, and then call me. And it took me 2 days. That's what a panic I was in. But what that gave for me from the very beginning is she said, if you want the recovery that the first 100 got, their recovery from alcohol, if you want that kind of recovery from food, you do what they did. Are you willing to do that? And I said, absolutely, having no idea what absolutely meant, having no idea what half of, well, more than half of what I even read in the book meant. All I could think about is how am I not going to eat? How am I going to eat what I told her I was going to eat? And how am I going to go 4 hours without eating? And so that consumed me in the very beginning. But as I started on this journey, having a roadmap already of the things that I must do, had to do, but I had no idea how to do those and what they really meant. But she began to walk me through the book and through those very specific instructions that we have in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And in that process, I call it now a methodology. There is a methodology that you can take a person like me who was eating every few minutes, but so much more than that. I thought I knew everything. I never came to Overeaters Anonymous to change. I believed that I was too old to change. I was just the way I was. And yet I can tell you today, everything about me has changed, not just 90 pounds lighter. But I have had a psychic change, a personality change. Now, I'm a slow learner and I go through the steps every year in a year-long workshop with an alcoholic who has a workshop for all fellowships. I go back through the big book and the steps every year for a year long. So we stay. And the first time through that workshop, I had the experience of step one, which is the absolute hopelessness of my condition. That left to myself, I will self-destruct. So we get a brand new big book every year, and I know that something's been added to it because every year I have a new awareness of something I had never seen in there before. And if I had seen it, I had scoffed at it. So one of the most recent awarenesses that has changed everything for me was the statement that said we had to quit playing God. And every time I had read that, I just said, oh, I would never do that. And I would just dismiss it. But for whatever reason, a few months ago, that phrase, that sentence leapt off the page at me. And so I took that into my morning practice, asking God, show me what this looks like for me. Show me where I'm playing God, that I must stop. And I began to see all over the place where I was playing God, that I actually did believe I knew God's will, not only for me, but for you and for the world and for everyone around me. And when I understood, and so much in the big book talks about coming to, we come to believe. And so for 5 years and 9 months, I've been coming to, unlearning so much about what I learned to be the bedrock of my living. And today, the set aside prayer is the bedrock of my recovery, asking God to set aside what I think I know, because I already think I know. You know, somebody says something to me, it's always, I know, I know. But you know what? Knowing to do better never made me do better. Knowing that what I was doing was killing myself didn't change one thing for me. I could not stop it. And I want you to know today, because of a power greater than me, because of Overeaters Anonymous, because I was led here. You know, I hear people say, man, I never wanted to be an Overeaters Anonymous. Man, I didn't care what Overeaters Anonymous was. I am a champion of this 12-step process that has taken me from a person killing themselves without my consent to a person today that I live by a methodology that brings me a relationship with a higher power that empowers me to walk differently today than I did the 65 years before I got here. But I want you to know time's not a tool. So it's 60 miles into the forest, it's 60 miles back out of the forest. So my 65 years of living a different way didn't disappear the day I found Overeaters Anonymous and the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. It didn't suddenly vanish that day. It's a journey. And so it's a journey of new discoveries and new awakenings as I go through my day. So, shortly after I found OA, shortly after I began that year-long workshop, the first time through that workshop absolutely transformed my life, because the first time I went through the steps, I got stuck in that guilt, shame, and remorse, that morbid reflection that the big book warns about. But I thought I knew what morbid reflection was. I thought morbid reflection is when you can't get out of bed in the morning and you know you have nothing to live for. No, morbid reflection is that I kept staring behind me, thinking that I could do something today to change my past. And it took me a long process to find out that the past is the past. And I can tell you today, not one thing in my past has changed. But every single thing I believe about my past has changed. How do you come to a place to accept the unacceptable? I can't. But a power greater than me, a power that takes care of the care of my life, the things that I care about, that I turn to a power greater than me. A lot of people say and talk to me about surrender. And first of all, I'm from Texas. And so we think we're bigger, badder, smarter, faster. That's the way I lived my whole life. So I think I know more. I think I know better. And so surrender for me always meant quit, give up. And that's not in my DNA. So the word that my higher power gave me is to turn, that I turn. And a lot of times I physically turn my head as just a manifestation of me turning for a power and an idea different from what I think and what I believe, and puts me in a position that my mind can be changed. And the prayer that brings that intention back to me over and over again is, God, may your will and mine be one. And that keeps me in a position of willingness that my mind can be changed. But when I was told that willingness without action is fantasy, so I can sit here all day and say, oh, I'm willing to do this, and oh, I believe this, and but my feet are going to show you what I believe. The way I live is going to show you what I really believe. I can talk about what I believe all day. But if I say, oh, I know I'm powerless, but I never turn to a power greater than me upon awakening, asking that from that moment of awareness, that my mind be opened and I be directed, then I don't really believe I'm powerless. I just think I need a little bit of help every once in a while. But for me, I know that this journey, this gift of recovery that I've been given, this journey that is a daily reprieve, which means I wake up every day a compulsive overeater. What am I going to do today besides practicing that addiction? And how? I don't know what today's going to hold, but I know who holds it. And so as I walk out my day, I trust that I will be given intuitive thoughts. And as I continue this journey, I'm so fascinated that I continually get new awarenesses, continually things that I know I've heard before, I know somebody has said before, but all of a sudden it's like a megaphone, or all of a sudden I'm looking in the big book and the words are jumping off the page. And I have a passion for newcomers because being a newcomer was so challenging for me because nothing made sense. And everywhere I went, people were talking what I call recoveries. So they had slogans and ways they were using words that did not make any sense to me. I couldn't figure out what it meant. So I would go to a meeting, and back in the old days, 2019, when we had pieces of paper that you sit around, and I would write down numbers and I would call people and say, "What are you talking about?" And so today I work with newcomers with the pamphlet, "Where Do I Start?" The OA pamphlet, and 12 questions over 12 days that give them a foundation of what Overeaters Anonymous has to offer. And then by that time, either I'm going to sponsor them or I'm helping them find a sponsor to go ahead and complete the steps, because the steps is where the recovery is. It is a psychic change. It's soul surgery. It's an inside job. I can't give it to anybody. It's mine. But I can share my experience and shed the light on the way I walk. You know, we don't walk behind each other. We walk beside each other. And I so love Roseanne's promise, "I put my hand in yours, and together we can do what we can't do alone." I don't know. I don't believe that I would be alive today had I not found Overeaters Anonymous.
Yes.
Thank you. And yet, you can't get where I am today from where I started. And yet here I am. I can't explain it. I can just observe it. And I've never let my foot off the gas. Today, I do everything I've always done. I do a lot of outreach. I do a lot of service. I moved in with my family a year ago, and so my service looks different. And the number of meetings I go to is different. And I take my outreach calls now during times that my 2.5-year-old granddaughter is asleep, who is the delight of my life. But what I have come to believe is that I don't know what I don't know. And I don't know I don't know it. And that what I do know, as I create these fantastical stories, may not be the truth. So I'm asking God to set aside what I think I know, and to open my mind and show me the truth, and then to empower me. So, in my morning practice one morning, I was given this prayer in a way of praying the serenity prayer that brings me to an openness to emotional serenity and an emotional sobriety. And that is, God, bring me the acceptance that brings serenity, the courage to be changed, and the wisdom to walk that out. So, thank you all so much for being here. Thanks for the invitation, and welcome home, everybody.